Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text Number 10. Bhagavat Dharmina Sado Sadhaya Yattataha Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahman Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat Bhagavat Dharmina Sadho
Bhagavat Dharmina Sadho
Daya Yattata Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani
Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani
Ananya Vishaya Bhavat Bhagavat Dharmina Sado
Bhagavat Dharmina Sado
Shraddhaya Yattata Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat Bhagavat Dharmina Sadho
Bhagavat Dharmina Sadho
Daya Yattata Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani
Bhaktir Bhagavati
Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat
Bhagavat Dharmina Sadho
Saddhaya Yattata Sada
Bhaktir Bhagavati
Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat
Bhagavat
Dharmina Sadho Saddhaya Yattata Sada
Bhaktir
Bhagavati Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat
Bhagavat Dharmina Sadhu
Bhagavat Dharmina Sadhu Saddhaya Yattata Sada
Bhaktir
Bhagavati Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat
Bhavati Vata Sadhu
Bhagavati Saddhayayattata Sada
Bhakti Bhagavati Brahmani
Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani
Ananya
Vishaya Bhavat
Bhagavat
Dharmina Sadho Saddhayayattata Sada Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani Ananya Vishaya Bhavat Bhagavat Dharminaha.
One who executes devotional service.
Sadho
of the devotee.
Shraddhaya
with faith.
Yattataha
endeavoring.
Sada
always.
Bhaktihi,
devotion,
Bhagavati,
unto the personality of Godhead,
Brahmani,
the origin of impersonal Brahman,
Ananyavishaya,
firmly fixed without deviation,
Abhavat,
became.
Translation. Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service.
executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles 24 hours daily. Thus his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna developed and became unflinching and fixed. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Bhagavat Dharminaha indicates that the religious process practiced by Maharaj Prithu was beyond all pretensions. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, religious principles which are simply pretentious are actually nothing but cheating. Bhagavat Dharmina is described by Viraragava Acharya as Nivritta Dharmena, which indicates that it cannot be contaminated by material aspiration. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, Anya Vilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrittam Anakuryena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttamam Uttama. When one is not inspired by material desires and is not contaminated by the processes of fruitive activity and empiric speculation, fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord, his service is called Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service. In this verse, the word Brahmani does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is a subordinate feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and since impersonal Brahman worshippers desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, they can be considered followers of Bhagavad Dharma. After being baffled in his material enjoyment, the impersonalist may desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but a pure devotee of the Lord has no such desire. Therefore, a pure devotee is really Bhagavad Dharmi. It is clear from this verse that Maharaj Prithu was never a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, but was at all times a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Brahmani refers to one who is engaged in devotional service to the Personality of Godhead. A devotee's knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically revealed, and he is not interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman. Maharaj Prithu's activities in devotional service enabled him to become fixed and steady in the discharge of devotional activities without having to take recourse to karma jnana or yoga. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Vishesha Sunya Varipas Chacha De Satarane Umma Gyanam Timaran Dasya Gananjana Slakaya Chaksurun Viritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha Panchakalpatu Vishchakri Pasindu Bhiya Pachapati Tanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnu Devi Unamo Namaha. So here, describing Maharaj Prithu as Bhagavad Dharmi, one who practices Bhagavad Dharma, when it says here, sadaya yatata sada, so Prabhupada says, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to principles 24 hours a day. So Shraddha, so he followed the process completely according to the regular principles, and sada,
always, 24 hours a day. So that is his practice. And then, thus is love and devotion in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani, developed Ananya Vishaya Abhavat, till it became unflinching and fixed. It did not become diverted to any other subject, any other object, result, rather, we say any other object, completely fixed, ananya. There was no other. So this is the principle of devotional service or Bhagavad Dharma. Beyond all pretensions. Well, Prabhupada explains this. This is from the first, the Bhagavatam especially indicates this position. In the very beginning, which Prabhupada quotes, dharma projita kaitavo kaitavaha atra paramo niramatsaranam satam. That this, the standard of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is on the platform of pure devotional service, because it is dharma, which projita completely throws aside kaitavaha. Prabhupada covered by a fruitive intention or materially motivated, or sometimes cheating. Some Prabhupada said pretension here. So in the beginning, Prabhupada explains this platform. Also, maybe we'll go on. So this is the standard of Bhagavatam, niramatsaranam satam. It is meant for those devotees who are completely pure in heart. There is no envy toward anyone in their heart. So this is specifically for those people. So that's the specific standard. Therefore, amalam puranam. If you meet the spotless purana, you read. You ever have read so many other Puranas. So some places they teach pure devotional service, other places so many other things are there. But this one is completely, teaches nothing but, the Bhagavatam teaches nothing but pure devotional service, or distinguishes pure devotional service from other things. So this is the standard. Therefore, when Rupa Goswami writes Nectar Devotion, he makes this definition of pure devotional service. Anya avilasita shunyam yana karmadi anavritam anakulyena krishnanu shivanam bhaktir uttamam. This uttama bhakti, this is the definition. Anya abhilasita shunya, it is devoid of any desire for sense gratification, nor is it covered by aspirations of jnana, karma, adi, and so on. You could say siddhi, all these other things for philosophical knowledge, for fruitive activities, for yoga practice. So this is the standard of then to serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. This is now one should notice here, there's two ways that Prabhupada translate this anya abhilasita.
It has this ta at the end, which is sort of the same meaning as twa. Not just desires, but sort of the tendency toward desires. Because this statement is called is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which the thesis statement is the central text of this, and then in the same area they talk about people who are different candidates for the taking up this process. So their qualification is Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. This really refers to their qualification for beginning pure devotional service. So even Kanishta Adhikari means one who's begun this process of pure devotional service. His qualification is the smallest, but still he can begin the process. This Anya Abhilasita Sunya means really, in the strictest sense, as Prabhupada said, without desires other than those for the service of Lord Krishna. Or as he said here, not inspired by material desires. In other words, in the beginning, there will be material desires, but I am not practicing devotional service in order to satisfy those desires. That is not my inspiration. So I take up Krishna, I have material desires, but I'm not going to Krishna to satisfy those desires. Actually, rather, I'm going to Krishna to become free from them. So my aim for Krishna consciousness is pure. I may not be pure, but if I'm engaging in the path of Uttama Bhakti, then as he says here, my intentions or my aspirations or my inspiration has to be pure. Isn't that clear? Sometimes Prabhupada just says you have to be free from all material desires. And that's the highest stage that will happen. That's also another sense of pure devotion. But the path of pure devotional service, that you begin it, but you're not qualified if you have ulterior motives. You know this expression, ulterior motives, hidden desires for these things. So that's the strict meaning of this Anya Bilasita Sunya. That ta gives us the sense of not that you have no desires, but that you have no but that these desires are not your reason for doing this. That condition for having desires is not your motivation for taking up devotional service. So that's the same thing. Let's take it from this Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. This Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra is also, because of this statement, is why it is said that the Bhagavatam begins where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. The Bhagavad Gita is like an introduction. And Prabhupada described the Bhagavad Gita as on the platform of intelligence, and the Bhagavatam the platform of the soul proper. He says there's the culture of the body, culture of mind, culture of intelligence, culture of the soul. Culture of the body we see all around us. These are the restaurants and everything people do for the senses or for their health, you know, the People are going and working out, and running on treadmills, and going on diets, and going to die. Everything for the body. That's the culture of the body, to make the body fit and to enjoy. That's the culture of the body. Culture of the mind, that we find in our universities and colleges, where people speculate. It's all on the mental platform. That is to say, they entertain these ideas, they look at them, they play with them, maybe like this, maybe like that, speculate about them. Then, after a while, just like children playing with toys, they get tired of it, put it back, and pick up another one. This is like, there's no progress or anything like that, they just... culture of intelligence is Bhagavad Gita. Because in the very beginning, devotional service is described as Buddhi Yoga. And then later, Dadami Buddhi Yoga Mtama, I give them the intelligence. So when the intelligence is cultivated properly, then it becomes guided by the super soul. And one is actually in contact and directed by the super soul, so that when the intelligence is fully cultivated, you do what Krishna says, you surrender to him. Sarvadharaman puritjaja mame kam saranam vaja. That's the meaning of surrender. You give up all dharma and you surrender to Krishna. What dharma are you giving up? Here it is. Dharma projita kaitavo atra. You have given up these materialistically motivated religions. I was there when one professor said to Prabhupada, he wanted to insist that sarva dharman puritjaja means that also I have to even give up my devotion to Krishna. It's some Mayavadi idea, you know. Sarva dharman puritjaja mame kam saranam vaja. So then I have to give up all dharma, so I also have to give up the worship of Krishna to come some higher thing, you know. Some speculation like that. No, because that dharma means everything other than taking full shelter of Krishna. And what are these other things? That they are the kaitava dharma. And in the Bhagavatam, Krishna described all these different things: the performance of sacrifice, the worship of the devatas, karma, performing a work in the world according to varnashram dharma, this is communion of karma, sacrifice, austerity, penances, search of knowledge, all these different things. When you yoga, Ashtanga yoga, you do them all the way, you understand them in their depth, you understand actually that Krishna is the goal or Krishna is behind somehow or other, that they all come to go to and depend upon Krishna. So therefore, why bother with these things? You can come to Krishna directly. Mame kam saranam vraja. Give up everything else. The Prabhupada says somewhere, make a quick work of it. And just come to me straight. Don't waste, don't have to spend your time doing these other things. You do these other things, you bahunam jadmanamante. After many births, you'll surrender to me. So just come on and surrender. Don't waste your so many births. Gain this knowledge, right? Make a quick work of it. That's what he says. Prabhupada describes it like that. So here it is in Bhagavatam. This is this pure devotional service. So here I want to read Prabhupada's explanation of this Dharma Projita Kaitavaha. So he begins his purport. Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation from material bondage. What is this called?
dharma,
artha. Yeah, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and altogether they're called purusharthas. Huh? The purusharthas, the four subjects or aims of human life, right? And these are supposed to be what the Vedas are about, right? The Vedas are about these four topics. So that's religion. He says religion includes these four things. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Irreligious life is a barbarous condition. You know, barbarous means by blecha. But this word is from the Greeks, who are the Meletians. Their word for those people who didn't speak Greek, barbarian. Yeah, they say because when they would hear these foreigners speak, they would sound like bar, 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 bar. Call them barbarians because of the ugly non-Greek speech. So it means like barbarous, uncivilized. Barbarous means uncivilized, barbarian. Someone who's not civilized. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. So that's not human. So if that's all you do, then you're a kind of a barbarian, uncivilized human being. These four things are the common both to animals and to human beings, but religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. So now, first he talks about these four subjects and how they're actually there, but then something more which points you toward relationship with God. In the lower stages of human civilization, so now we're talking about human beings, not barbarians, civilized human beings. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. Or in other words, there is continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. People are competing with each other. Therefore, they're always envious of each other, and therefore that's why this word nir-matsarana. Matsara means envy, right? So these people we're talking about who are for Bhagavatam, they're beyond this envy, nir-matsara. They have no envy of others. That's why Prabhupada mentions this here. So this is the lower stages. People are competing with each other, the society of competitive sense gratification. Because they think there's only so much to go around, and whatever I have, I take from you, and whatever you have, you've taken from me. So we fight with each other. Who will get the money? Who will get the land? Who will get the women? Who will get... So that I say, now I am better than you, right? Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. In his competition, he also wants the help of religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. This is dharma. Why does he perform dharma? To gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, the so-called religion is neglected. If I can do it without religion, to hell with religion. This is the situation in modern civilization. Somehow or other, for some time, they have managed without religion to satisfy the senses.
I used to hear this propaganda that when I was a child, like places like India, they were so backwards, that is to say, not economic development, because they had so much religion. Because they worshiped cows and other things. And then in a textbook, they'd show a picture, street scene in India, here's all the traffic waiting while this cow is in the middle of the road, blocking the progress. They really make propaganda like that. Man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Why do I say this? Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in the religious places which were erected by their forefathers. You just go down Germantown Avenue, you see those big, huge church, so much money, almost empty. They have to use a daycare. Almost empty. Almost in America, in any city, you know, so many churches on there. Almost empty. I just read where in New York City, the Catholic Church is going to sell 100 churches. Because of their financial difficulty. Because these big old churches, but only a small congregation, they want to sell 100 churches. Ram Bhadra posted that to us in the GBC. Maybe we can buy some. Prabhupada. Yeah, anyway. So, this practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains, so that's right, because if there's economic gain otherwise, they give up religion. But when they become worried, then they go and they pray. As soon as there's some hurricane like in Florida, so many more people show up to church. The stock market goes down everywhere. Suddenly, they get worried, huh? They go to church. Otherwise, they stay away on the golf course. He doesn't mention golf courses here. He just mentions factory shops and cinemas. So this practically proves that religion is performed for economic gain. And in other words, why is there dharma? For artha. That's why. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification, kama. Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord, moksha. So he tries to satisfy his senses so many ways, it doesn't work. Why is the satisfaction of sense? To be competitive. I am the Supreme. Competition means I am the Supreme. I failed to become supreme in the material world. Now I will turn away from the world, and by practicing yoga or something, and now I will become the supreme. So the idea is still the same. The idea that I am will be the greatest. That's still there. Now I'll become God this way. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. All these states mean dharma, artha, kama, moksha. All really sense gratification. That is to satisfy the false ego is still there. In the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. Okay, you want to keep you want to compete for sense gratification, at least you follow the rules and regulations of the Vedas so that you will not commit sinful activities. Well, the whole thing is sinful in a way, but this way we can keep it to a reasonable level. So this is regulated sense gratification. So he's saying in the Vedas, this dharma, artha, kama, moksha is all sense gratification, right? But the Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. On every level, everybody's fighting the competitive sense gratification. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. They do not compete with the materialist because they are on the path back to God here, where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. Niramat saranam satam. Those are the people that can appreciate this Bhagavatam. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers to everyone. And they strive to establish a competitionless society with God in the center. No competition, huh? With God in the center. The contemporary socialist conception of a competitionless society is artificial. Because in the socialist state, there is competition for the post of dictator. You see, that was the idea, you know, the philosopher Karl Marx, right? He saw that the different classes of people are competing with each other. And whoever has the power, they exploit those who are weak. Right? And so he thought that this is class division, that you have the rich, the poor, the laborers, he saw capitalists and laborers at his time. This competition is there. And so, but he thought that human beings became competitive because of the society. So we get rid of the classes, then there'll be no competition. But the desire to be supreme is still there in the heart. So even though they do this, they change society, but still it ends up there are classes. Some people have privilege, and it's true what Prabhupada said, that people would then join the Communist Party, they would have power over others. In Russia, they had everybody shopped in one kind of store, but those who were the members of the Communist Party, they had another store, and so on. It was like that. From the point of view of the Vedas, or from the point of view of common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruitive activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for promotion to the planets of the demigods. And another involves realizing the absolute truth in his impersonal feature and becoming one with him. This is Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Upasanakanda section of the Vedas. So he mentions that later on. So all these things, then he distinguishes from that the Bhagavad Dharma. The impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth is not the highest. Above the impersonal feature is the Paramatma feature, and above this is the personal feature of the Absolute Truth, or Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam gives information about the Absolute Truth in its personal feature. It is higher than the impersonalist literature and higher than the Jnana Kanda division of the Vedas. It is even higher than the Karma Kanda division and even higher than the Upasana Kanda division, because it recommends the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. In the Karma Kanda, there is competition to reach heavenly planets for better sense gratification, and there is similar competition in the Jnana Kanda and Upasana Kanda. The Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all of these because it aims at the Supreme Truth, which is the substance or the root of all the categories. Category meaning everything that comes, emanates from the Lord. From Srimad Bhagavatam, one can come to know about the substance as well as the categories. The substance is the absolute truth. The Supreme Lord and all emanations are relative forms of energy. From this way, Prabhupada describes this. What does it mean, dharma prochita kaitavo atra? Actually, everything is the that's why devotion Krishna says, Vedesho durlabham adurlabham atma bhakta, Brahma Savita. That as far as Krishna, Vedesho durlabham. You'll have a hard time actually understanding this from the Vedas. If you want to know from the Vedas, you find Krishna. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, so many times Krishna says about what he's teaching is guhya, guhyatamam. It is secret. What does secret mean? These people are studying the Vedas, and maybe they figure out bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prabodhyate. Then you find it, gets to know it. What they call esoteric knowledge. Esoteric just means hidden. It's hidden. But in the Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes open to everybody. That's what Vyasadeva did, actually. He took the hidden knowledge and he made it pretty open. And he thought he'd done a good job, and then Narada Muni came and said, basically, no, you've not made it open enough yet. You have to describe more about Krishna. So then he writes Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the story. So this is the Bhagavad Dharma that Maharaj Prithu is practicing. Although it says, Bhaktir Bhagavati Brahmani, means he is performing devotional service unto Bhagavan and unto Brahman. Brahman is mentioned here. So in the word for word, he says the origin of impersonal Brahman. No, you can understand it like that. Unto Bhagavan, who's the origin of Brahman. Because actually, it's true. If you understand the Bhagavan, then you will also understand Brahman, and you will be on the Brahman platform. Also, that is there. From the last purport, Prabhupada quoted this. One who performs devotional service comes to the Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, becomes qualified to the position of the platform of Brahman. Also you can call Bhagavan also Brahman, but Param Brahman. He's the Supreme Brahman. He's also the Brahman means the source of all energies. He's that also. And so for these ways it is mentioned here. Any questions?
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the Pancha Purusharthams.
Yeah, the fifth Purusharthams.
So actually, those who are following the footstep of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are ultimately come to the Pancha Purusharthams. So how to achieve this stage?
What? By following the practice. I mean, really, when you start on this practice, you follow Lord Chaitanya as instructed by Rupa Goswami. We are also called Rupanuga, so followers of Rupa Goswami. So right away, we are taught from the very beginning
that this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all of these are material. Anya abhilasita shunyam kyana karmadiya navritam. You have to, why do you do this? Because you understand there's something higher. What is that higher thing? It is prema. This is Panchama Purushartha. It's the fifth one. It's also in the Vedas, but it's hidden, confidential. It's confident because not everybody will appreciate it, the love of God. Because they're not yet qualified. But our process by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we chant it according to the process given. Two things we mentioned, abhyasa and vairagya. So one has to follow the regular principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. One has to follow that, strictly follow that. And also cultivate the holy name by performing a regular to devotional service. Abhyasa means you do it every day. Every day you rise early, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, worship the deity, chant japa, and you do this unfailing. Just like it says here, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to the principles, 24 hours a day. So then you do that. You perform this vaidhi sadhana bhakti according to these rules and regulations, and ultimately love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead developed and became unflinching and fixed. So the yogis, they strive to samadhi means that their mind is concentrated without deviation, right? It's difficult to do, but the devotee, when there's love for Krishna, then that being fixed is not any problem. Because now it's rag. It's now called rag marg, because now is natural a feeling for Krishna. And when there's natural feeling for Krishna, you can't have natural feeling for Krishna until you know Krishna. As soon as you begin to know Krishna, the feeling will be there. Because love for Krishna is not artificial. Love for Krishna is already there. But now it's been diverted into so many different things. It has to be brought back to where it belongs. What happens to love for Krishna? It is prema. But when the soul is in the material world, he's in contact with the mode of passion, and that prema becomes manifest as kama. Prabhupada explains this, just like when you take milk and you add lemon juice, it becomes curdled. So similarly, that prema becomes curdled in contact with the mode of passion and becomes kama. Now, how strong is kama? How strong is sex desire? Look at this whole world as being moved by sex desire. So see how much everyone loves Krishna. So if that kama, but when one becomes purified by cultivating the holy name, that kama becomes turned back into its original natural state, which is prema. That's spontaneous devotional service. That's how it happens. That's our method. So we have the path. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught it. He taught it to Rupa Goswami. He taught it to Sanatana Goswami. They sat down and they made it all systematic. They went through the scriptures, Nana, Shastra, Vichara, Naikanipuno. They're very expert in analyzing these scriptures. And they pull out, because the scriptures, here's bhakti, but it's mixed with this jnana and karma. So they like, here's pure bhakti. They distinguished it from this jnana and karma.
So therefore they recommend first of all Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is purely presented, but then also from the other Puranas they select this, they select that, and ignore the other stuff. They reject it. And just this is what pure bhakti is. There it is. We have it. Now I have to do it. You know, there's a saying in English, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So somehow or other, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have been led to water, but now we have to drink. But sometimes there's mercy. Raghunath Das Goswami has this nice prayer to Sanatana Goswami. And he says that he forced me to drink this liquid of bhakti mixed with vairagya. He forced me to drink it, although I was unwilling. He said he forced me. So maybe we get some mercy and somebody, you know, they push us a little bit. But generally it's up to us. We have to at least have some desire there for this Krishna consciousness. But all over our movement we see so many people are coming. But they just sort of, well, a little bit. they don't take advantage of this opportunity. Yeah, it's a real shame. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.